I don't even know if I'm technically going to need this, so you'll have to be careful with that. I was already given some forewarning on maybe some thoughts about what I should preach on from your pastor here. And he said I can even rant, rave, or be calm, whichever. And so I'm usually a pretty calm person when I preach. And so if we could actually hear the echoing of saints that have gone on before us, I wonder, would it be echoing out to you and I here in America? How long, America? How long? How long, America? How long? When we see wickedness all around us, we wonder, how long, O Lord, will you put up with this ungodly behavior? How long before you send your judgment upon this wicked land? You know what's sad? We are more ready for judgment to take place than for godly repentance. Judgment is coming to America because we have chosen, listen, we have chosen, born-again believers have chosen this, not to change. We've gotten comfortable just going about with our everyday duties, not even willing to change as the Holy Spirit of God begins to do a work in our heart and lives to conform us in the image of Jesus Christ. We kind of put our heels in the back sand, so to speak, and say, you know, I really don't want to change that badly. But how important it is that we truly change. That even though this world is changing, we don't have to change to be more like the world. As this world is changing, we need to be changing more to be like Jesus Christ, no matter how the world labels us. And listen, you'll be labeled. I have been labeled. And you know something? One day, I'm going to hear those precious, precious words, ready? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I hope that you as well are waiting to hear those precious words. Fasting and repentance causes an absolute change. Remember Jonah preached in Nineveh. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the king proclaimed this, a complete fast, and repented. And Jonah got angry. He wanted to see God's judgment. I praise God that He is long-suffering.
Yes,
I praise God that He's long-suffering, not for my benefit, but for my family that has never come to know Him. For my friends that have never come to know Him as Lord and Savior. We can know the condition as well as the future state of this nation by one biblical principle. Look in Galatians chapter 6, please. Beginning in verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. Don't quit. When I was going through the heart transplant process, I remember laying on a hospital bed and they said, Kevin, if we don't get the heart soon, life is going to be over. You know, the doctor didn't realize something that was very crucial. I understood, by the way, and I'm not saying this mocking what the doctors and the nurses and the care that I had received. But life wasn't going to be over. Actually, if I took my last breath, life, like I never knew it, was going to begin. And I wanted my children to understand something. And my family to understand something. Please, no matter what God's decision is in all this process, I just ask that you make one promise to me. You ready? Don't quit on God. No matter how rough the road becomes, no matter how difficult the path is that God is bringing you down, please, I beg you, I plead with you, do not quit on God. There's been too many that have gotten weary, that have gotten worn out. And they went by the wayside and said, God, I can't take it anymore. And the worst part about it is they are at the very edge of a breakthrough. They're at the very edge to see God's glory and said, I can't take it anymore. Church, be encouraged. And when you go through those stages of discouragement, by the way, don't stay in that state. Be encouraged. Encourage one another. It should be a constant basis that we take a moment to not only pray for somebody, but let them know, you know, I am praying for you. Encourage one another. But look at the principle here. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. You will reap more than you sow. And you will reap later than you sow. The way we have been sowing in our nation to our sinful desires, guess what? America is in trouble. But it's not too late to change the course of America. Dear Christian friends, we cannot delay. Now is the time that we fast and intercede to a righteous God, that we repent of sin, that we reconcile and get right with a holy God and with one another. You know what the problem is? The devil's having victory in churches and brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he gets them at odds with one another. Yeah. Instead of coming kneeling together, hand in hand, serving God together, you know what happens? We fight against one another and realize, hey, we're, by the way, you and I are not the enemy of one another. Just think, if fundamental independent Baptist churches practice these principles, the possibilities of revival in America could have a ripple effect and spread throughout the world. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. America was founding on the principles of Scripture. I was talking with a man in the nursing home, and he's probably close to 90 years old if he's not already. And he's got all of his wits about himself. He's an amazing man. God had used him in the community of Whitehall. He told me that when he was supervisor and he didn't know what to do, you know what he did? He sought out Scripture. You know what he did? He got up from behind his desk and got on his knees and prayed to Holy God for his direction. Oh, how we need that today. What a difference it is today, because that doesn't happen anymore. And you know what else was amazing? No one ever questioned them for reading God's holy word. In order to gain wisdom on a certain matter, no one ever questioned them because they opened up their day or meeting in public with prayer in Jesus' name. During that time for America, we as a nation knew who the one and only true God was, and we thanked him for his blessings. And America had sown in the Spirit, and that sowing reaped a bountiful harvest of blessing for America. When we sow to the Spirit, our goal is to please God, not man. That's our goal. Our goal is to please God, not man, and put to practice our daily lives those things that please him. Be obedient to him in every area. It's kind of like this, Lord, you know, I'm willing to be obedient in this area. But, you know, kind of leave me alone in the other stuff. I want to do that on my own. He's calling you and I to be obedient in every area of our lives. Truly have faith in him. When something takes place, we have young believers in our congregation. I'm very thankful to God, but every time they have a problem, guess what they do? Pastor, I've got a problem. And you know what I'm trying to teach them? Not to have faith in me, because you know something? I'm a man, and I will fail them. But I want to have them turn to Jesus Christ. Amen. And have their faith in him, and truly in him alone, to bring honor to his holy name, and allow him to do this. Live his life through you and I. Can you imagine what it must be like for that individual to truly come to the place and say, Lord, here I am. Live through me. Don't let me get in the way. Don't let me be a stumbling block for what you want to accomplish in this day. But Lord, live through me. You know, the echoes of those cries, "How long, America? How long will we sow to our flesh?" This is we yield to harmful cravings and sinful desires. Our flesh is that part of us that wants to live independently from God. It is to do what we want with no thought of consequences. Guess what? There are going to be consequences. To feed our selfish desires and forget about pleasing God for that moment. Verse 7. Be not deceived. Stop deceiving ourselves. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Any person who sows wickedness, any nation who sows wickedness, will not escape the harvest of those actions. Therefore, be not deceived. Why? Because there is no exception to the rule. If Christians in America really believe God's holy word about this principle found in Scripture, we would fast and repent and intercede on behalf of America. Here are a couple of things we have allowed to take place in America. Prayer and Bible reading banned from public education. Anything that mentioned God was removed from government buildings. Crosses and other symbols of our faith came under attack, mostly through the court system. We legalized the killing of unborn babies, and over 50 million have been aborted already. Then we have same-sex unions and recognize them as marriage. Although God's word forbids this act, in Leviticus 20, verse 13, it says, "And if a man also lie with mankind as if he lie with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall sure be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." More and more, the name of Jesus Christ, which should be praised, is now becoming forbidden. Unless, of course, it's used in vain and disrespected. Philippians 2, 9-11 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen? Can God bless this nation of ours? Sure He can. But will He if we refuse to repent of our wicked ways? So many times we'll look at a non-believer and say, "Look at the mess they're in." They ought to be in that mess. All I have to do is look back before Jesus Christ saved my soul in the mess that I was in. But what about born-again believers? What about those that have come to know Jesus Christ? Have God's holy word brought forth into their minds and into their hearts? And yet to choose to live wicked lifestyles. How long, America? How long will we continue to sow to the flesh? Verse 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Shall reap corruption. We have said as a nation, "God, we don't need you anymore." Look in Isaiah chapter 5, please. Verse 20. "Of them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore," look, Look what it says. As the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. America can pass laws legalizing ungodly behavior, but God's principles do not change. Regardless of the law, it is better to obey God than man. And this should be our motto as citizens of the United States of America and as citizens of heaven. It is better to obey God than man. Continue back in Galatians, please. Second part of verse 8. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Think about the obedient Christian who loves the Lord no matter what circumstances they are faced with. Think about the obedient Christian who reads their Bible daily. Think about the obedient Christian who faithfully serves in the church. Think about the obedient Christian who prays diligently. Think about the obedient Christian who gives sacrificially. Church, thank you for your faithfulness. You shall reap if you faint not. Do not lose heart. You shall reap what you sow. You shall reap more than you sow. And you shall reap later than you sow. So let's recognize our responsibilities as citizens of God and as citizens of the United States of America. Three thoughts, ready? We need to stand up. We need to stand up. We need to stand up for what is right in God's sight and live a God-honoring life. Even though the President of the United States of America says we are no longer a Christian nation, listen, dear friend, you do not have to believe them. Believers in Jesus Christ everywhere need to faithfully live out their God-given convictions without compromise. You know something? There's a danger. There's such a danger when we compromise our God-given convictions. It brings us to a place where, guess what? You no longer have any at all. And you begin to get a cold heart. Ask Him. Plead to a righteous God. Please, in Jesus' name, start a fire once again within me. A fire that will burn so brightly, others will see the Lord Jesus Christ alive in you. A fire within me that will cause me to wake up and sound the alarm. Jesus is coming again. A fire within me that my knees will be worn out from prayer. A fire within me that will keep me in the Word of God daily. A fire within me that will cause me to worship Him in spirit and in truth. A fire within me that will work out the salvation that is in me. A fire within me that wants to surrender to do His will. Dear Christians, I don't know will we ever come up with the thought that we need to be pushed around by this world. I don't understand the thought of turning the other cheek. But where is it that we became so weak and feeble that we forgot to stand up for what is right in God's sight? You know why we're losing the voice? Because we're not speaking up. Now is it time to stand up? It's time to speak up. Do not be ashamed of Jesus Christ, even if you are in the minority. Praise that holy name out loud, not under your breath. Matthew 10:33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Just think, there is salvation in His name, in no other name. There is power in His name, in no other name. There is life in His name, in no other name. And there's a response to His name. Ready? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hey, it's time to come out of the closet, dear Christian. I know that you were told last night to get in the prayer closet, but you know something? It's time to come out of the closet. You know why? Everybody else has. Where are Christians gonna? Really, where are Christians gonna come out and say, hey, guess what? I am a believer in Jesus Christ. He is Lord. Well, we probably have not said that because we might offend somebody then. My goodness. The church today, and I'm not talking about this church, but I can say this with the church that I pastor at, we preach about hell. Because we believe it is real. And we believe Jesus Christ is the only way.
Yes, sir.
It's time to speak up. See, we want to. I hear pastors say this. You know something? One day when his life is over, if you haven't received Jesus Christ, your Lord, sir, Savior, you're going to be separated for all eternity. And I'm going to tell you something. You know how much that really makes them quiver? And I know that we're going to be separated from God for all eternity. But they have no concept if they don't even know who God is, what that really means. They could care less. You know why? Why bother? Who cares? They've already separated. I know them already. But when you start talking about the truth, the pits of hell,
right.
When you start talking about all the characteristics of that place called hell, then maybe someone will shake up and realize, hey, you know something, I don't want to go there. I remember back in 1990, I had a pastor come knocking on my door and came to do visitation. By the way, that still happens today.
Yeah, sure.
And he came up and you know something, I was so thankful because he wasn't afraid to speak up. He said, Kevin, I want to talk to you about something. I thought, are you kidding me? And I really, listen, I was as lost could be. I thought I was okay because I had a dose of religion, by the way, but I had no relationship. So he came and he knocked on my door and I was going to go on a date that night. It wasn't my wife, but then again, we weren't together, so it was okay then, by the way. And so he came up and he says, and he starts talking to me, he goes on for about an hour, I thought, I wish this man or him just go home. I've had enough. I've got a date. I'm telling you, I was ready for the date. I looked good, believe it or not, back in those days. I mean, I drove a Camaro. It was black, cold, black and gold with T-tops, and it had a CD player. And I'll tell you something, 1990, you had a CD player, probably cost you about $1,500. But then again, I had a little bit of income, too, in those days. I wasn't a preacher. And all of a sudden, I go outside the door. I'm thinking, I'm finally going to let him go. Well, finally, he's going to leave. I'm going to finish putting on my polo, I think, or jacquard, something. Whatever it was back in those days. It smelled good, though. And he says, Kevin. And I thought he was all done. He says, look at that car. I'm planning on getting in that car. He says, look at that car. He says, Kevin, if you were getting that car tonight, I'm thinking to myself, if you were to leave, I'm going to jump in that car. And you were to take off and get in an accident and die. Where would you go? Heaven or hell? And you know something? Wow. The Holy Spirit of God began to use that because you know something? Deep down in the dark part of my heart, I knew that if I was to get in that car that night and I was to die in a car accident in that car, I knew that I was going to go to hell. But I began to justify things. Well, I've been a good person. Oh, I've been a pretty bad person. And you know something? I remember getting that car. And when I got in that car, I'm telling you, part of this, but I used to drive the car at a minimum of at least 70 miles an hour, and that's in a 30. I mean, I just drove that thing fast. That's why I like that. I like to go fast. That's why I had a Camaro. Otherwise, I would have had a Pinto. And I got behind that wheel that night, and guess what? I went, pop, 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 pop. Because inside of me was a conviction that I didn't understand, but I do now, was the Holy Spirit of God was causing a godly fear inside of me saying, Kevin, if you're to die, you're going to go to hell. And guess what? I was smart. You know why? Because I didn't want to go there. But I didn't know what. what the answer was to how not to go there. Although he probably told me, but I was thinking about the day I saw him, I think what he had to say. Well, I went to the party that night, and I finally got there. It took me a good 30 minutes to get there. And I remember getting to the house, and they said, Kevin, do you want a beer? I said, no, I don't want anything. And I remember sitting down, I jumped back up, saying, I gotta go. They said, where are you gonna go? I said, I don't know, but I just gotta go. And I got back in my car and I went home that night. I didn't sleep very well that night. And finally, it came to Wednesday night service. I said, I'm gonna go where that guy does church service. Praise God, by the way, he was open on a Wednesday night. And I got there to church service, and I got there. I knew what it was there for, and he went out ahead and had to sit away and said, I never heard a word he said, just for the record, that Wednesday night. But he said something to me that was so important. Do you remember our car? Yes, that's why I'm here. I'm thinking, would you, let's get back to what the fact is. I don't want to go to hell. And I got on my knees in his office, and I spoke up, and I said, Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross to take away my sins. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guess what? I'm a whosoever. The Lord saved my soul in Jesus' name. I did something right. I thanked Him. I thanked Him, and I got back in that Camaro, and guess what? I felt like, I couldn't wait to get behind the wheel, and I go to step on it, and I couldn't anymore. You know why? Not because I was afraid, but I knew it wasn't right to drive that fast. There had been an absolute change in me. Yeah. It's time to speak up about the change in you.
Yes, sir.
Don't you be ashamed. A lot of times people say, you know, I don't know what to say. Good for you. That'd be better off. You gotta let God take over. But all you gotta do is say, Lord, I'm available to be used for you and by you. And I want to speak up for you, and you'll be amazed. You will be amazed how the doors will open of opportunity if you'll just be willing to speak up. Hey, it's time to come out of the closet, dear Christian. Speak up for Jesus Christ. And last thing is this, ready? Straighten up. You know, I can remember being a young boy at home, and when I was in the wrong, not living right or doing right, and every once in a while I did that, my mother would say this, Kevin Francis Gebo, straighten up! And I knew exactly what she meant. And it's amazing about mothers how their voices can change. You ever notice that? Kevin Francis, so sweet, like Kevin Francis Gebo, straighten up or judgment is coming.
All three names.
I heard it several times. Either straighten up or else judgment is coming. Economic struggles, natural disasters, terrorist attacks, and let's not forget how the devil's working on you and I on a constant daily basis. We must straighten up, and it has to begin in the house of God. We look at the people all across our community and say, man, they're in a mess. They ought to straighten up, don't you think?
Yeah.
I do too. But it's got to start in the house of God and in the life of every child of God. And I'm not going to do justice like you are in this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You preached on this, didn't you? There's no sense in me doing it, is there? Well, you and I both know that's not going to happen. But I'd like to share it anyways. If my people, will you hear this, please? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Although this was originally written for the nation of Israel, today it also includes those who are His children.
Yes, sir.
For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. if my people, he's speaking to you and I tonight, if we'll humble ourselves, we must acknowledge our total dependence on the Lord. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up and pray, intercede on behalf of our entire nation for leaders to our neighbors. Pray for revival. Pray for laborers. When was the last time that you can honestly say that you prayed, Lord, I can see it's ready. I pray to you that you send forward laborers. Pray for strong family structure. Pray for godly parenting. Pray for obedient Christians. Pray that God would ignite a fire in us that would spread like wildfire throughout this land. Pray for our president that he would acknowledge the one and only true God as Lord. And then turn from our wicked ways. The word wicked includes all deliberate, willful disobedience. Not just crimes of violence. We must confess even our secret sins. You know what the amazing part is? There's some things in our hearts that, you know, we don't want anyone to know about them. But guess what? God knows about them. And it's hindering not only your fellowship with him, it's going to hinder fellowship with one another, but it's going to hinder revival in your heart and in your life. Forsake them. And the Lord will hear our cry. He'll forgive our sins. And he'll heal our land. You know, we sang a song earlier. Do you really want revival? And do something about it. Stand up. Speak up. Straighten up. Nehemiah 1:4 says, close your eyes for a second, will you please? I want you to hear this. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Start right now. Show God you truly mean business. Will you stand up? Would you please stand up with your heads bowed? As you're there tonight, I'd like to challenge you in this way. Truly show God that you mean business. I'm going to ask you that you'd come forward tonight. I'm not asking you to do it for my benefit, but show God. Get on your knees before him this evening. Say, Lord, I need revival in my heart. We need revival in our churches. Let there be a great awakening spread throughout our land again. Is that you today? As the music begins to play, you don't delay, but show God you need business. Come before a holy God on your knees, praying, seeking him.